And in the 1030s and 1040s, a fellow by the name of William the Strongarm, who was from Normandy, had a whole bunch of brothers and half-brothers, began to carve out fiefs for himself and summoned his brother, his younger brother, Robert Guiscard. And Robert Guiscard, who took over in 1046 as Count of Apulia, by which he means southern Italy, over the next 40 years carved out a Norman principality in southern Italy. It would prove to be one of the most effective medieval kingdoms in the entire medieval West. And he did this by playing off Lombard princes, Byzantine governors. He also was constantly attacking papal territories in central Italy, that is the papal states, sacking monasteries such as Monte Cassino. Robert Guiscard generally had running simultaneously two excommunications, one against him personally by the reigning pope, and the other as a general excommunication on all Normans for attacking some sort of monastery. In Norman society, this was probably looked upon as a sign of one's standing rather than any kind of moral statement. In any case, the Normans intended to take over the whole of central and southern Italy. And this drove the papacy, the Byzantine emperor, and even for a brief time, the Holy Roman Emperor of the West, into a rather strange alliance to take out the Normans. And it climaxed in 1053 when the then reigning pope, Leo IX, who was a great reformer pope, a man who really raised the position of the papacy, sent a delegation of three legates, a fellow by the name of Cardinal Humbert, a translator, Peter, the Archbishop of Amalfi, and a fellow by the name of Frederick of Lorraine, who was the chancellor of the pope, handled administration and finances. And these three delegates were to negotiate a military alliance with the then reigning Byzantine emperor, yours favorite, Constantine IX, the third husband of Zoe, against the Normans. Unfortunately, everything went wrong from the start. The then reigning patriarch, Michael, decided to hijack and sideline this political mission into a test between Rome and Constantinople. The 10,000 monks of the Studion on call were sent into the streets. All sorts of stories were put out about the filioque, the difference in the liturgy, that the Western liturgy was being performed by the delegates in Constantinople. The emperor was absolutely powerless to do anything about it. He was really behind the scenes. And Michael, in effect, provoked those envoys who were all men committed to the reform ideals where the papacy is the supreme authority in the West to issue a bull of excommunication. The irony is that these envoys had no right to do so. They delivered the bull of excommunication on July 16, 1054, a Saturday, on the altar of Hagia Sophia. Unbeknownst to them, their pope had died earlier after he had been defeated by the Normans in a great battle at Civitate and died in captivity in April, that is a couple of months before. The news had not reached them. In return, the Patriarch of Constantinople issued his own excommunication. This is what we often call the Great Schism, the Great Cutting. Now, this was not based on doctrinal matters, but on matters of discipline. That is, the liturgy, the relationship of council versus the authority of the pope, issues that aren't necessarily central to the Christian faith, but are very important to the administration of church matters. It was the climax of bad relations for the last 300 years between Constantinople and Rome. And I'd like to read an excerpt to give you some of the flavor of how this invective was tossed around in the 11th century. And this is a selection coming out of the excommunication of Cardinal Humbert on the Patriarch Michael. "Upon Michael, neophyte and false patriarch, brought only by mortal fear to assume the monkish habit, and now for his abominable crimes, notorious, upon Leo, so-called Bishop of Orchid, upon Constantine, Chancellor of the same Michael, who has publicly trampled the liturgy of the Latins beneath his feet, and upon all those who follow them in their aforesaid errors and presumptions, except those who repent, let them be anathema, as in upon the Simeonics, the Valesians, the Arians, the Donatists, the Nicolaitans, the Severans, the Panoptai, the Manichaeans, the Nazarenes, as upon all the heretics, and finally the devil and all his angels." Amen, amen, amen. this excommunication was only lifted by Pope John the 23rd in 1969. The Orthodox Church is still to respond.